This is A View from the Bridge, an official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 14th of August 2013, and my name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, everybody? Hope your summer's been fantastic. You've been enjoying the sunshine. I know I have. A couple of barbecues, bit of Ashes cricket, maybe a drink or two. It's been a lot of fun. But we've only got about 2 weeks to go before the Bolzano Foxes roll into the Odyssey Arena for the first pre-season game of the forthcoming season, and what games they're going to be. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. It's the appropriate word. We've got an interesting show coming up for you. We've got the first chat that we've been able to get with the new Giants coach, Paul Eadie. But first of all, we've got the usual suspects chatting about the usual topics. Only a couple of weeks left before the Bolzano Foxes become the first team to visit the Odyssey Arena to play against the new era of the Belfast Giants. We've got a few things to talk about, and joining me as usual are the two gents, Davey McGimsey and Neil, the coach Russell. How are you guys?
Hi, Patrick.
Interesting few days, not least with regards to there's been a new signing put on board and a bit of PR from the team. We'll start with the signings. Predominantly, guys, we've had, as we've said before, they talk about the new era, but most of the signings we've seen coming in have been old faces, not least old faces returning as well. But we have had a few new ones in Calvin, Corey and Chris, the three C's. Davey, what's been your impression?
Of course, when you say Corey, you mean Cody, don't you?
I do mean Cody. Why did I write Corey? I don't know.
Obsessed.
Obsessed by Corey. I do mean Cody. Calvin, Cody, and Chris. Davey, what's been your assessment of the recruitment so far?
You know, we were promised this new era, and all of a sudden we're back to, it's more of an old era. But the two guys that you talk about there, Calvin and Cody, seem to come with a bit of pedigree. Certainly Calvin Elfring, massive pedigree. Interestingly enough, the only left-hand shot on the decor. So you can imagine that him and Sandrock are going to take up a bulk of time on the power play. Chris Higgins also comes in with a bit of pedigree, but at the same time, he seems to have missed a lot of games over the last number of years through injury and that, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of, it's very hard to talk about these guys, you're talking about them on paper at the minute until you see them on the ice, you know.
It is, like, I agree with you, but when you look at the team as a whole, you're saying a lot of names are coming back, not least we've had the return of Evan Chevrolet, and one of your favourite players from years gone by, Davey.
I think we touched on it when we were having a chat off her last week. You know, he's now played more than twice as many games for Belfast as he did for that other crowd in the Midlands, and I'm happy to see him back. You know, he's a proven goal scorer. I tipped him for 20 to 30 goals this season, for sure.
Coach, Cody Brookwell's a 6'4", over 200 pounds defenceman. You're very vocal last season about the big guys, you know, your Jordan Foxes, your Guy Lepines, especially in Nottingham, about having these big defencemen. He must tick your box.
Oh, big time, Paddy, no question about that. It's, as you've already kind of intimated, it's something that we have touched on at the back end of last season, and something that I went on and on about it throughout the course of the season. Any time that I saw Nottingham play, you watch the likes of Beckett, you watch the likes of Lepine. These guys are monsters on the blue line, and they clear so much space. It's so much more difficult for forwards to get through, to get shots away, etc. And having that kind of physical presence on the blue line is absolutely critically important. And I know from a discussion that we had with Killer as well towards the end of the season, it was something that I think was inevitable that we would definitely try and sign for the incoming season. And I'm damn glad that we've actually done that.
And what's your opinion on the returning players? You know, it's, like I say, it's a large core of players that we know all about.
Yeah, I'm very, like, the number one re-signing for me was Kevin Surratt. That guy was superb throughout the course of the season. He obviously was a late arrival, but from the second that he landed here in Belfast to the time that he left at the start of April, he was just superb in every single game. And he didn't just have physical presence. He also had you know, he had the goal scoring knack. He was just my type of player. I'm glad to see Keith and Lloyd back as well. Lloyd adds that physical presence as well. He hits like an absolute train, and obviously Keith does his job. And I'm over the moon to see those types of guys back. And I know sometimes we kind of overlook it because it's almost seen as standard now, but it's fantastic to have Murphy back as well. You know, hopefully he's rested up after his injury from last season. Hopefully he's ready to backstop us right through to another league championship this year.
Davey, last season when we were coming in, we'd lost Robert Dowd and we had to replace him, and we've got back Colin Shields has come back this season. We've also lost, coming into this season, we've lost Craig Peacock. Massive loss. Matt Toe's been moved on as well. He went to Swindon. He's now with the Brayhead Clan. No real new faces in the British Corps, because we've got Kevin Phillips coming back, but all in all, the British Corps seems to have remained pretty static.
Yeah, I think over the last couple of years now, with losing Rob Dyer and Peacock, we've probably lost our punch up front. That's, you know, we've got good quality British defencemen, David Phillips, Kevin Phillips. We don't really have that outstanding forward. You know, with Mark Garside, face-off specialist, I'd have him in the team all day long. I think he's a fabulous player, but really losing Dyer and Peacock, going to be two massive holes to fill. With Colin Shields full time now, Colin Shields bit of an enigma, you know, which one turns up on any given game, let alone any given season. So, you know, it's going to be a tough season. It'll be the first few weeks before we really know what we're going to get.
How do you think that D's setting up, mate? Because, you know, we've lost, I suppose Kevin Phillips has come in, but we've also lost maybe Graham Walton, who's doing his job.
We've got the case where, you know, Robbie Sandrock, you know he's going to play an absolute ton of minutes. You can imagine that Elfring's going to play a ton of minutes. Jeff Mason, another player who takes a lot of work on. I spoke about it a few weeks ago. I don't see where Kevin Phillips fits into the whole thing. And then the way you're looking at that is Davy Phillips is almost a third pairing. And I just don't see how we're going to set up there at the minute. It'll be a couple of weeks into the season before we really see. Well, hopefully the Bolzano game will let us see what sort of shape we're taking.
Coach, looking up front on the British players we've got up front, we've already mentioned Mark Garside, Colin Shields. One of the things that the Giants really suffer from is you'll hear about this from Paul Eddy coming up in the interview, the lack from having that underpinning team, that EPL feeder team or the NIHL feeder team that, you know, would bring talent through that maybe Coventry or Sheffield or Nottingham have. We have brought in Robbie Brown and Gareth Roberts. These guys, you know, local lads, it's good to have local representation in the team, but maybe not of the quality that other teams have.
No, and I think, you know, obviously the Giants are trying their best and they've kind of set up the Junior Giants and all that type of stuff. And, you know, it's something that the club are going to have to kind of try and develop over the course of the next 10 years. And hopefully we'll see that bear fruit and over the course of time. But at this present stage, we just don't have that luxury of being like a Sheffield and Nottingham, a Coventry, where we're able to draw on teams or players in a league below or whatever and kind of develop these players. But, you know, the club are making strides in that department, and that's all they can really ask for. And at the end of the day, we have picked up some fantastic British players over the years. We have been able to attract the likes of Rob Dowd here. We've been able to bring, you know, a fairly unknown Craig Peacock from Peterborough at the time, who turned out to be an absolute gem. You know, I think Killer and the organisation are very good at kind of scouting younger British guys. But it is a definite disadvantage, no question.
Guys, just moving on with regards to the Giants organisation, we had Killer on here in the last podcast and chatting to us about how the team were changing and how much emphasis they're going to be putting on trying to improve the Giants' PR and trying to bring more bums on seats. PR-wise, the Giants have been pretty active. Coach, I'll go with you to begin with. How do you feel that, you know, they're very active on Twitter, they're very active on social media. We've just had the Word Police and Fire Games, and I believe there was a bit of a leaflet initiative. How do you feel the Giants' PR has been going over the off-season? Because it's a difficult time.
Well, just to kind of touch on what you just mentioned there about the Word Police and Fire Games, I went along to a couple of games, and albeit, yes, free entry into the Odyssey Arena to watch that game or to watch the games, But I was absolutely astounded. I think I saw the stat the other day. There was 50,000 people in attendance at those games. I went one night, and there must have been the guts of 4,500-5,000 people in the arena. The second time went, 4,500 people again in the arena. It was absolutely, just like as the press said, just to watch policemen play. And it was fantastic. Yes, the Giants had a lot of leaflets that night, dishing them out to people. And all that we can hope for is that the games that I watched were fantastic games. And all you can actually hope for is that newbies who have come along and have watched the game, enjoyed the atmosphere, thought this will be a great family night out, and hopefully they'll start purchasing tickets to come along and watch the Giants. But to answer your question in full about the Giants PR, we've touched on the commercialism aspect with Killer and the organisation. Like, I think Todd's absolutely fantastic at it, and I know Mark Brooks as well does a fantastic job there in the marketing role within the organisation. Very active on the likes of Twitter and Facebook, which is absolutely essential in today's climate, because everybody generally is on social media. I know you want to kind of touch on it a wee bit, the thing today to do with the player sponsorship. I think that's the first kind of faux pas that's kind of slipped into the setup, and I'm sure it's going to create a lot of controversy.
Well, yeah, let's have a look at that. Today, the Giants, as part of their 20 and 20 initiative, which is 20 pieces of PR in the 20 days leading up to the first game pre-season, today's piece of information was the fact that the sponsorship, the player sponsorship for the shirts, which traditionally has been a first-come, first-served thing, I think it's like 150, 200 quid to sponsor a home away or a cup shirt. It's no longer first-come, first-served, but at a season ticket holder only event next week, you put your name and address or your name onto a ballot and you put it into a box related to one player, and then they'll draw out a player. It's very convoluted. They'll draw out a name to do with that shirt, and then you can decide whether you want the sponsor it or not. It's quite convoluted. It seems to be restricted only to season ticket holders. I don't think it's a great idea.
I actually read through it again before we came on, and it's not as bad an idea as I thought it was earlier. But in so much that it's only season ticket, it's a season ticket holder only event. It means the likes of ourselves that no longer hold season tickets due to geography more than anything, and have sponsored shirts many times over the years, don't have that opportunity now. If they can get all the shirts sponsored at a season ticket event, then good enough for the club. At the end of the day, it's all about bringing money in. The first time I sponsored a shirt was Tony Hands, and it was because I wanted a Tony Hands shirt. I'd be disappointed if I wanted to pay out 150 quid and I wasn't able to get, first, second, even third choice, and it's now down to like a raffle more than anything. It's a very expensive raffle ticket. I suppose you don't have to pay unless you win, but it's an idea. We'll see how it goes.
I do see, like I say, I agree that I do see some logic to it, but I think the negatives outweigh the positives with regards to that. I can't sponsor a shirt in this. You can't sponsor a shirt in this. Coach, are you a season ticket holder?
No.
None of the three.
No, he only goes to 98% of games.
98.5% of games. Granted, if they do get all the shirts sponsored, it is about bringing money in, and maybe a season ticket holders deserve that privilege.
As you say there, sorry to jump in, you get a hell of a lot of gurning on the forum by season ticket holders, and it was something I was never into myself. Whenever I bought a season ticket for all the years that I had it, it was because it was cheaper for me to buy a bunch of tickets together than to buy one every week, because it was never missing games. But now, some season ticket holders think that the season ticket should be more and just your entrance into the game. They're always, we want this, we want that. So this is some way the club have came up with at the end of the day, this costs the club nothing, but they are giving something back to the season ticket holders. So it's going to keep some people happy. Some people will find fault in it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, and I think it's to do with looking after the season ticket holders. At the end of the day, the Giants obviously went through a fairly turbulent year last year, and it's Killer's kind of way. It was very much publicized at the end of last season that if you purchase this rock bottom season ticket price, ticket at this rock bottom price, there will be a lot more incentives for season ticket holders to do so. There'll be a lot more bang for your buck, as it were. And, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, Killer's living up to his word for the season ticket holders. And as Davey says, let's see how it bears fruit. I would imagine that they'll still not struggle in any way to sell all of those player sponsorships, but I think it's more of a case of appeasing season ticket holders. And if that works, at the end of the day, they're the guys that are fronting up with money for every single game. Good luck to them.
Agreed.
Just to briefly touch on the season tickets as well, that I can't remember if we mentioned it or not, but the initiative that the club came out with for, I think it was £300 for an adult season ticket, and that entitled you to every single game, pre-season, cup and playoffs. They say a minimum of 30 games at the Odyssey all season. It was an absolutely fantastic offer that they pulled out of the bag. When you look at, I had a wee look around at other season ticket offers. The Manchester Phoenix here, were just up the road from where I live, were offering 27 games league only, not even all the league games, not including cup games, not including playoffs. And their season ticket, as I think somebody, must be you, Coach, is typing into Google to try to find out.
I'm getting something else for you.
Their season ticket, I believe, was something like 325, 350. And that's for EPL.
Unbelievable.
So for the Giants to pull that out of the bag was A, phenomenal, and B, a brilliant deal.
I think, again, the synergy or link now between ourselves and the Odyssey Trust has helped massively on the pricing structure there. So it has, you know, Wood Killer have been able to offer that same incentive under previous owners or whatever. I'm not so sure, but I think the definite link now is definitely going to help with that. And happy days, fantastic, because, you know, we've now, the club have now reported the highest ever season ticket purchases, which is fantastic. And hopefully that'll encourage more and more people to come along as well, because the prices are very, very competitive whenever you look around the rest of the league.
Yeah, I'm just as Paddy was talking about EPL there, I was just having a quick look at Cardiff, with it being the sort of closest arena to me. If you paid by the end of March, which was prior to the end of last season, for 30 games, they're doing the same, 26 Elite League games and 4 Challenge Cups. So they're guaranteed 30 games. It's £396. Pay by the end of May, 420. And pay before the start of the season is £445. It's £145 dearer to sit in a tent.
Unbelievable.
Than to sit in the arena, you know. And to be fair, like, I can't remember the last time I seen Cardiff full. They get good enough crowds in, but, you know, you're only talking 1500. I'd look up the numbers, like, but I'm sure they're averaging in around that 1500. No, so yeah. You know, they're charging top dollar there.
With we've got another. I think there's another 15 days or 16 days of the 2020. Any you guys want to fathom a guess at any of the PR coups that they we're going to hear in these next 2 weeks?
I dare say one of them will. Or two of them has to be new signings. Uh-huh. So happy days on that front. I dare say Mr. Rady has already those signings near enough completed.
I believe tomorrow's 20 and 20 is a new signing according to Bakebook, and
right.
Okay.
So, any more like spectacular ones, you think? You know?
Well, the spectacular one, obviously, was it yesterday that the flexi ticket is actually less flexible than going and buying at the door. This is it's just called the unflexible ticket. You know, it's now, if you've got a, did you hear that one, Coach?
No, I haven't heard
it. You buy a flexi ticket now, it's the same price as walking up to buy a ticket. However, you have to use it an hour before face-off. So it's actually more flexible just to walk up and pay in than it is to go and buy a flexi ticket. So not sure about that one. I'm sure we'll have some weird and wonderful ones over the next 20 days because, you know, there isn't that much news to put out at this time of the season. You know, guys are training. That's the next one will be that the sticks have arrived.
Yeah. It'll be like the way the Sheffield Steelers have had it. It's like this is Lefebvre arrived in London. He's on the train to Sheffield. Nobody cares.
Yeah, don't ever compare our marketing to Sheffield's. I think theirs is absolutely abysmal. So I think ours is I think we do it well on the whole. I think there has been a couple of slight slip-ups there with the sponsorship and what have you, and that flexible ticket which Davey's just talked about. But I think overall the club do a very good job of generating a lot of interest, and that's what it's all about in the lead-up to the season. It's creating that bit of excitement, that bit of energy leading into the season, and you know, the club did very well.
Well, guys, I'll move on here quickly. Yesterday I got to chat with the new Giants coach, Paul Leary. I was going to leave that interview to Davey, but I thought better of it. I began by basically welcoming to Belfast and asking him that it's been 7 or 8 seasons since he departed the Nottingham Panthers and began to develop his coaching career in Europe, and I wonder what his main motivation was for returning to coaching in the UK.
Well, I mean, it's nice to get back to my roots, really. If you look at where I played and where I started coaching was here in the UK, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, the last so many years I've been kind of up in the mountains and been very isolated, and I think it's just nice to come back and, you know, get back into the real world a little bit. And like I said, I enjoy the hockey in the UK, and I think that's probably my biggest motivation, is to get back to something I really enjoy.
You've had, you know, when you were here, you had countless seasons in Nottingham, and of course you had a little holiday in Sheffield. And after 4 seasons of coaching in Nottingham, and 2 of which were in the Elite League, now that you've come back, and I'm sure you've been watching since your time in Italy, do you see many changes since you've left? The standard of the league, you know, the setup of the league?
Well, I went through, you know, different periods when I was here, because we were in the Super League, and it was different in terms of there was, you know, 16 import players per team, and it was a different league than now, where you see a bigger influence in the British players. And obviously over time the British players have gotten better, which is nice to see, and hopefully that continues and you see more and more British players developing. So it's a bit, you know, more of a mix now than it was when I was coaching in Nottingham. I think that's the biggest change, is just more of a British influence in the game.
Like I say, you've returned to these shores after many years away. No doubt, you know, your name stirs up feelings and memories from fans all across the league, not least in Belfast. And, you know, you had that side, like I said, the side in the Super League was renowned for being a strong physical team. You had, what, Eric Charron, Jason Clark, Barry Nicard, Dodie Wood, guys like that. What do you recall about that time, about those teams, about that, your early coaching experience in Nottingham?
Well, I think that team in particular was probably too tough. I think we had too much toughness that year. It's just the way things worked out, and you know, we had a reputation that year, and they played a, you know, hard physical game, and sometimes that got a bit out of hand. But you know, as a coach, you learn from these things, and you realize that to win the league championship, you're not going to win with too much toughness. You know, you have to have a good balance to your team, and you know, which is, you know, basically the goal this year is to build a real good hockey team. I think the Elite League's changed that way. I don't think it's so much about, you know, the fights. It's more about playing good hockey. And I think back in the Super League, the fighting was a lot more important than it is today. And I think today fans will want to see good hockey, first and foremost.
I think it's a debate that goes season on season about how much toughness you have to have in a team. And you look at that team in the Super League in particular, you're within a hair's breadth of the playoff final, but you still think that maybe you should have had a bit more skill to it.
Well, afterwards, you think about your season. I thought if I had maybe a little bit more skill in the lineup, I think we probably could have, you know, done more damage than what we did. And we obviously were a good team, because, like you said, we weren't that far away from making the finals, and we were very, very competitive and played good hockey. But I think if we had one or two more skilled guys, a little less toughness that season, I think we would have been probably hard to beat overall.
And then, like you say, you brought it from the Super League into the Elite League, and the next season the setup changed and the focus became like on import limits and developing British talent. You were mentioning that earlier on. Do you really think that when you look around the league now, in comparison to when you left, that there's been a success in developing the British talent?
Well, for sure, because I remember the year I was coaching and we had a lot of injuries, and I had, I think it was 3 17 or 18 year olds on my third line. We were pretty decimated that season with injuries, and we still survived. So it showed that, you know, with some coaching and some time and patience, you know, the young British guys can learn. And what I like about the British players is they're not fearful. I mean, you can go to some countries and you, some of the younger players coming through have a bit of a fear in their game, not getting, they won't get hit too hard, and they're a bit afraid to maybe have to drop the gloves. But in the British game, the guys, they just accept it as part of the game and they get on with it. And mm-hmm. the character of the players, I find, is very strong. So that's why I enjoy working with the British players. And that's why I think I've had good success with the British players is we kind of like their approach to the game. And I like, you know, like the way they play, just a little bit more grindier of a game than all finesse. So I think that's one of the reasons it works with me and the British guys.
Turning to your time now with Belfast and the recruitment that you're doing, so far there are around 12 players, I think, returning to the side from last season, and a majority of these were in place before the announcement of your own appointment. Was there any concern there that, you know, you felt restricted in the side that you were given as opposed to maybe other teams? You know, a lot of your squad are somewhat there. Would you feel that they were forced on you and your rival, or is this something you were happy with?
No, I mean, I know when I had the previous discussions with Todd and a meeting with Todd, I mean, the players he had mentioned to me, I was all for them being part of the club because I felt they were good players. And mm-hmm. and I know Todd knows the game quite well. He's played, he's a former player, and he watched the previous season. So he knew what elements would be important for the club this year. And I had no problems with any of those signings. And basically, you know, we've been trying to build around those signings. And I think we've done a good job so far. And I know for me, I've always waited into August to see what is left basically in the market and picked up the best players. And that's basically what we're trying to do right now. And, we have two more forwards to sign. Now we're very close with one guy and another guy is not that far away. So I think in time we'll have our guys, which is the key.
How important or how much of a draw was it to have somebody like Todd at the helm, a former player, a hockey guy as a general manager? It's something that a lot of other teams don't have. And do you find it's really beneficial?
No, I think so. I think, so far I've enjoyed dealing with Todd. He's a straight shooter and he's easy going. He doesn't panic over things and he's a former player too, so we have that in common. We both played the game for quite a few years, and I think that makes the relationship a bit easier. There's an understanding there, and I mean, to be honest with you, I'm fortunate to have a GM who's played the game, and mm-hmm. and I haven't had that very much in my coaching career, so I'm looking forward to the experience.
Like you say, there's still a couple of signings to be made before the season begins. What's your approach to your recruitment? Do you assess the other teams' rosters and, you know, react maybe in a means of keeping up with the Joneses? Or do you have a game plan that you stick to regardless? You know how your team wants to play and you know the guys you need?
Well, I think, you keep an eye on the league and see what teams are signing. But at the end of the day, you have to put the right pieces into your puzzle. And I think that's the key for us. I mean, we have to have the right guys in those key positions, and if we can do that, we'll be successful. And so far, like I said, I'm happy with the signings we've made, mm-hmm. and they're all good signings. There's no weak signings there, and we have two more signings to make, and if we make a couple of good signings, for sure we'll be competitive. There's no question about it.
How would you moved on from the UK scene, I think it was 2005, and you spent a lot of time in Switzerland and Italy and, you know, developing your own coaching ability. What do you think you've gained from your time there, like you say, up in the mountains? How is Paul Eady different to the Paul Eady that we saw back in Nottingham?
Well, probably a little more relaxed with the job. I think over time you gain more confidence and you gain more experience, and you approach things differently, than from my first year. Obviously I approach things differently. Mm-hmm. And I think you just, it's like anything you do in life, you learn and improve as you go. And I just think that, the change is basically from experience.
And see, looking back at recruitment, you've brought a few new names to the lineup, most notably in defence with, Cody Brookwell and Calvin Elfring. Brookwell being a 6'4", over 200 pounds, and Elfring bringing a wealth of experience from the DEL. They're two great signings. How important is to shore up the defence? Because we looked at Nottingham last year and they had guys like Guy Lapine and Jordan Fox who were, big guys and knew how to handle the game. Defence is key, isn't it?
Well, I think defense is very important, and I like our nucleus of defensemen. I mean, if you look, they can all play. All six of them are good defensemen, and I think that gives us some depth. So if we lose one or two, we still have four who can go out there and do the job for us. So, and that's basically, you know, what I've been trying to do with the team is have good balance in terms of, you know, if we lose one or two players, we're still able to go out and win games, and I think that's the key. We don't want to rely so much on one or two guys or one defenseman or just two forwards to do all our scoring. I think what we have, if you look at our defensemen, I mean, we have guys who are going to contribute offensively, which will take the pressure off the forwards some nights. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our forwards, you know, so far every single guy in our lineup has scored goals. Yeah. I mean, that's really important. And if we keep add another two guys that contribute, you know, we're going to go to offense every night from guys. And, you know, we got a good goalie in Murphy. And defensively, all our signings can do a job defensively. So we're well balanced, and we have guys who can play on both ends, and I'm really happy. That's important. It's not just about having, you know, guys who can score 50 goals, but if he's going to be minus, you know, 40 at the end of the year, it doesn't matter. So I think for us, it's just having that balance, having guys who can play on both sides of the ice, and so far we've done that. So I'm really happy with that. And like I said, two more good signings, and we'll be in good shape.
In contrast to other teams in the league that may have stronger ties with the EPL or NIHL teams for youth development, how do you feel that you cope as a Giants coach, you know, returning to the UK with the requirement to find British talents in order to, you know, fill those gaps and build the title challenging team? Do you feel restricted because Belfast maybe doesn't have the underpinning structure that maybe the team like Coventry does?
Well, it's a little harder, of course, because Coventry, Nottingham, Sheffield, you know, they have big programs, you know, behind their teams. And obviously in Belfast, we have to, you know, we have to go find guys and bring them in. But there's no point in bringing guys in unless, you know, they're gonna make a difference and do a good job when you need them. And so I think for us, it's the most important thing was signing our core British players and then, you know, making sure that, our money was spent on quality imports and, you know, having some young British players also to give them an opportunity to be part of the team, and which gives us a little bit of depth. And you know, I think we looked at it that way rather than try to load up so much with just British players. So we got a good balance right now, I think, with our imports and with our British players. And like I said, a couple of young guys to fit in with that. And we're heading in the right direction, that's for sure.
We're midway through August now, and we're running to the start of the season. The guys are arriving. I'm sure training camp, if not already started, it'll start soon. We've got this first pre-season games against Bolzano, which I'm sure you're well aware of from your time in Italy. What do you see these games achieving? You know, what are you hoping to gain from these games against Bolzano? Is it about gelling the lines or testing the chemistry of the team?
Well, first of all, I'm happy that Bolzano will come. I mean, they're a team that have won numerous championships in Italy. You know, there's two teams, Bolzano and Milan, who are all-time, you know, legends of the game and their country. And to have one of those teams come over is special. So I'm really thankful that they're going to do that and give the fans in Belfast, you know, a different team to look at. And they'll be good. I mean, they're playing in the Austrian League, actually, this year. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a good hockey team. There's no question about that. Will they have all their guys signed by the time we hit the ice for those games? I hope they do, because I really want a good, strong team to come in and give us a real, you know, two real tough games. I think that would be really good for us to play, maybe play, you know, a couple of teams that are the same level as to play a team, sorry, that's the same level as our top teams in our league. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, this year they might, you know, they could be a bit better because of the fact that they're going to have to sign extra imports compared to what they normally have. On the tactical front and on the team front, it's just good to try different things tactically, see what the guys are comfortable with, and also, like you said, to try different lines and maybe even different defense pairings, and to give us, you know, those two games will give us a good idea before the next weekend. So, I mean, obviously, there's quite a few things we can do. And like I said, it'll be a big challenge because I know they're going to be a good team. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a quality team for the team to play against. So, you know, Todd's worked hard to bring this together. And it's, you know, I think it's special for the fans in Belfast. They're going to see a really, really good team.
It is good to see teams like that coming over, because I think if it used to be back in the ISL days, we did get, you know, the big teams. We got a few DEL teams coming over for preseason. But as the Elite League came through, it was came across as less. We didn't seem to get those teams. So have a team like Bolzano is fantastic, and we would hope that they'd be, as you say, in and around the same level. I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure they're going to be at our level. There's no question about that. I mean, they're, like I said, historically they're one of the best teams in Italy. So, you know, it's going to be two tough games for us.
As to see, after that, of course, we're into the season proper. And I have to say, there are a lot of really interesting subplots this season with your predecessor Doug Christensen in Sheffield, you know, you here in Belfast, and you've got Corey Nielsen chasing a retention of a title with his, as his name and number now hang alongside your own in the NIC. What, to you, are the real challenges of this season? Because there's a lot of tough sides out there.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, look at Coventry, look at Cardiff. I mean, let's not just talk about Sheffield and them. I mean, it's going to be very competitive this year. And even, I think, Brayhead will be stronger. And you never know, with these Scottish teams are getting better every year from what I've been seeing. And so it might be quite a level league this year. There might be some surprises, and which is good. You know, the more games that are close and challenging, the better it is for the fans, the more entertaining it is. So I'm hoping it's that way. And I think it'll be more exciting for everyone. And of course, you know, Nottingham are going to want to retain their title, and you know, obviously Dougie going to Sheffield, he's going to want to do well there, and also that's a big rivalry between Sheffield and Nottingham, so that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a real battle again this year, and so it's going to be very exciting throughout the league, and obviously there's the twist also. I'm a former coach and player of Nottingham, and I'm in Belfast, so that makes it a bit interesting also. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting for the fans, and which creates excitement and good atmospheres, and I think a good atmosphere, I should say. And I think, you know, it'll be good, because I think the fans will come and watch the games, which is the most important thing.
I think it's got the potential to be a very exciting season. But I think the main question is, how have you been coping with Northern Ireland accents?
With the Northern Ireland what? Sorry, accents?
Well, accents.
I thought you said accidents there for a second. No, mate, I'm just kidding you a bit. But I have to kind of listen for just a little second or two longer to absorb the whole sentence. But the more I listen to the accent, you know, the more I'll understand it. So it just takes me a little second more to register it in my brain.
you'll get used to it quick enough, no doubt.
but it's easier than understanding people in Northern Italy who speak predominantly Austrian, so that I couldn't really understand too much of that. And Italian I was picking up a little bit because I can speak French, so... But to be back in, to where it's English speaking, I think it's a luxury, to be honest with you, with what I've been through in the last few years. So I'm not complaining about the accent.
Well, I think it's going to be a great season ahead. I wish you luck, and here's hoping for a successful debut year with the Giants for yourself, and hopefully we get to chat to you again as the season progresses.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Davey, you're Paul Eddy's biggest fan. What was your take on what he had to say?
Quite a charismatic character, isn't he? good luck to Paul. He's our coach now, and I've said a few podcasts ago, just have to get behind him. I think we'll warm to him a bit more. I like his, much like Doug, I like to listen to the technical aspects of the game and what sort of things coaches want to say about technical things rather than what fans want to hear about what a great city it is and how you can't wait to get to work and stuff. So the proof of the pudding for Paul Eddy will be in the eating. So let's see how he goes in 2 weeks from now.
One interesting aspect for me, Coach, is the fact that he believed that 2002 team was too physical.
Yeah, like jeepers, he would be a complete nut job if he didn't actually turn around and admit to the fact that team was too physical. I mean, that team was just stacked, was absolutely stacked with genuine tough guys. Now, genuine tough guys who could also play, then Scott Allison, Jason Clark. I always remember, like, whenever Clark actually put the head down to actually play, the guy could actually play, as could Dottie Wood. You know, Dottie Wood was an NHL season campaigner, so he was. You know, you don't play in the big show if you can't play, but it was just stacked with so many hotheads. I was just far, far too physical. But, you know, I know we've touched on previous podcasts the fact that, you know, never forgive, never forget and all that. At the end of the day, as Davey says, he's now our coach and he'll be doing his damnedest to make sure that he puts together as great a roster as he can and make sure that the guys that he has out in the ice are winning games for us. And that's the most important thing moving forward. I don't think he is the most charismatic type guy. You know, just listen to his interview. Maybe that's just a... a bit of caginess on his part, just settling into the city and all the rest. But, you know, listen, I don't give a damn. As long as the guy's a good coach, the guys like playing for him, and he puts together a good roster.
Well, you did say that, just on that, like I say, on that team, they were a hair's breadth, 0.2 seconds away from taking London Knights in the overtime and getting to the playoff final. But yeah, maybe a bit more skilled to it. On the on Paul himself, I think we were chatting yesterday when you guys listened through to the interview for the first time. Coach, you felt that it was a bit jingoistic. He was a few too many cliches.
Yeah, he threw out. I thought he did throw out quite a few cliches, but listen, that's all expected. So it is as well to a certain extent. As I've already said, at the end of the day, if he's
too many cliches, ding,
ding. I've been quite good the last few podcasts. No, he's our coach now, and that's the most important thing. And if I have faith in the guy, like, he's coached at a high level. He's coached over in Switzerland. He's coached in Italy. He's coached, let's be honest, he's coached at a higher standard than what's currently in the EIHL. And, you know, I have faith in the guy that he'll do well. I know I'm slightly sidetracking here. Overall, I'm just slightly concerned that we just aren't going to match up to the likes of Sheffield and Nottingham in terms of player strength, and that's my only concern. Now, he may well pull out two absolute gems out of the hat here as the final two forwards, and if he does, absolutely fantastic. But just looking at the overall composition of the team compared to, say, Nottingham and Sheffield, for example, I just don't think we're as strong.
Well, Davey, I'm going to throw a stat in for you, because you know I love stats.
Go for it.
A really crap stat, by the way.
Shocking.
Just when you say we are actually on average bigger weight-wise than Nottingham this year. Average Nottingham player is 84.68 kilograms. Average Belfast player, 84.9 kilograms.
You should have just don't have Mark Lever still in there.
But then you'll be unsurprised that Sheffield are bigger again, and unsurprised that Cardiff are the biggest in the league. You know, that's just what we're expecting. So it's going to be a good battle. Hopefully our next two signings are going to be one X factor player for coach, and one super heavyweight for me.
I got this picture of coach sitting behind the desk with Simon Carroll. Sorry, just shaking the head. No, sorry. You're not for it. It's a no from me.
Ruthless.
Yeah.
Ruthless is the only way to be.
Okay. One of the questions I asked him there was whether, you know, tries to keep up with the Joneses. So you look around the league, and we see that, you know, Cardiff are becoming pretty stacked. They're running with 5D this year. Nottingham short on D, but definitely a threat up front. Sheffield, some cracking signings being brought in there from Doug. So when you look at what we have to get, we have two import forwards to bring in. Chris Higgins came in a couple of days ago, and maybe, you know, not the player statistically that we were hoping for. Again, you can't make these judgments without seeing the player in the ice. But based on the stats, and like you say, Davey, he's probably been injured for a couple of seasons. What do we need in these two? Is it that X-factor player and a big guy? Or is it just two proven goal scorers?
I think we've got goals right through our team. So I'm not all that concerned about having, you know, one more out-and-out sniper would be, you know, it's going to bolster any squad. A night playmaker also is going to make. I think you asked Doug at this time, either this time last year or this time the season before, about, you know, their recruitment. Do they recruit what they're going to recruit anyway, or are they reactionary to what other coaches are doing? And I think he was always along the line of, you've got to keep one eye on what the other coaches are doing, but just, you know, they have their own strategy in their heads. It would seem that, you know, Doug has reacted to Nottingham bringing a few bodies in, be bringing a few big guys in himself. But I would like to see, because I like that side, that physical side of the game, I would like to see a heavyweight in Belfast again. We haven't had one for a number of years now. And as long as we've got boys that are going to score, you know, I've said it before, Chevrolet's going to score 30 goals. This guy Higgins could get 20. We've got players right through the team. Colin Shields could come back to the Colin Shields of old and get another 20 goals. You know, we have 150 goals in this team this season, and if we can complement that with a guy who's willing to to do the dirty parts of the game, well, then all the better.
I really cannot see us bringing in a heavyweight at this stage. I genuinely can't see it. For me, if I was to break it down in the simplistic terms, give me a physically fit Andre Fournier and give me Jeff Swayze, and I'll be happy with the final two signings.
Yeah, when I say a heavyweight, I mean, you know, somebody can play the game. A Jeff Swayze,
yeah.
Who, if he gets a stick in the back, he's not going to be too shy and letting somebody know what he's all about.
Correct.
Yeah, I think because like when we were talking about this before, we believe that these last three signings were to be, or maybe it's just been assumptions by the fans, but they were to be three top-line forwards. You're saying, that's why I was wondering when you said a heavyweight, did we really want a top-line forward that has the potential to sit 5 minutes in the box? Not really. We want three top line forwards that are basically going to be as close to rough rail Barrens as we can get.
Yeah, I think because of our lack now of top drawer British forward, that we need to bring in top imports now. Yeah. You know, we're relying on our D and our goalkeeper being our, you know, David Phillips and Stephen Murphy arguably would be our best two British players, one playing in nets, one at the back end of the ice. So, you know, we have to then load ourselves on the front with really high quality forwards.
I'm just listening to myself talk. Is Rafael Barrens the standard? Is that the standard now? Is that the gold standard that Giants fans live by?
Rafael Barrens. Jason Ruff, I'd have, you know, if I could get 10 Jason Ruffs on the team.
Yeah.
For me, I've said it, every time I've ever been asked, you know, favourite Giant ever, apart from Mark Morrison, is obviously Jason Ruff. You know? Jason Ruff.
He's right. There's no question about it.
Well, who would yours be then, Coach?
Oh, but mine just overall was Schulte. And for me, just Schulte just ticked every single box. He was brilliant on the ice. He could play the game. He came up with important goals. He never backed down from a fight. He was brilliant with the PR side of it. He was brilliant with the media. He was fantastic with the fans. He ticked every single box. He was, and still is, let's be honest, everyone, like I still talk to friends who have never watched a game of ice hockey in their lives and say, you still going to the Odyssey every week? Yes, I am indeed. Well, yeah, what about Paxton Schulte? Well, that's the first name
gone for 9 years.
Yeah, and he's still on the lips of everybody that has ever known about the Belfast Giants. And so for me, it was always Schulte. But I agree with you also in terms of like the likes of Jason Ruff and a Jeff. Like for me, overall, the man that got me out of my seat the most was Jeff Swayze. And I just thought Swayze was just different class. He practically won us that playoff finals over in Nottingham. He was sensational that entire weekend. He was sensational for us. Like, he was another late arrival that year that he was here. And he just carried the team. I've never seen a player come into a team, lift a team and an organisation as much as Jeff Swayze. For me, right up there.
You see, for me, I go with a late arrival as well, but I go further back. For me, my favourite player, my favourite Giant over the years has been Steve Thornton. It's always Thornton came in late after like a crippling knee injury when he was at London. Didn't play for the guts of a year, maybe more. Came into that Belfast Giants side, that last side of Dave Whistles, and just lifted the Giants all the way to the playoff title. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. Then he went about his business and joined other teams. And I remember seeing him again coaching and playing at Basingstoke Bison. And then he came to us as a coach and a player who had a pretty nasty hand injury. And again, I thought he was still at his age one of the best players we had on the team. Absolutely phenomenal going forward. Great hands, great skill, great hockey brain. Will remain my favourite Giant.
Gobble.
Yeah. And I've got the photo. Guys, one last thing quick to talk about. I mentioned it earlier on. It's just a bit of a note in my brain. Is the Cardiff running with 5D. Davey, we've talked about it many times about how, you know, D-men, how many D we're going to run with. 5 import D at Cardiff and a strong one up front. Cardiff are looking very, very strong.
Is that a question or a statement?
Yes. Well, it's a statement and a question.
Undoubtedly, they're looking strong. And the other thing about it is that just they're not bringing in, you know, students on day here. They're bringing in top quality guys, not veterans, but, you know, 25, 26, the 30-year-olds. You know, these guys have been about for years. They know what they're doing. You know, they've got some good players. That's going to be... And the same to an extent with their import forwards as well. They're light up front. There's no doubt. That's the you know, Mac Faulkner is going to have a lot of weight on his shoulders this year, see whether he's came back from that injury or not. You know, Chris Blight again, boom, boom, Berbrier. I just don't see that they've got enough up front. They've really stacked their D. Lacoste and Nets is a bit of an unknown to me, you know, but they're going to go one or two ways. They're going to be getting rid of a D-man quick and getting a forward in if it all goes wrong in the first few weeks.
Yeah. Coach, who's your danger team?
My danger team, I take it you're not talking then about the Sheffields or Nottinghams.
Whoever you want.
Well, Jeebers, good question. Nottingham are clearly stacked. Right, lads, very good. Nottingham are clearly stacked. But for me, Sheffield just look very, very strong. Any team that's coached by Doug will be coached very, very well. They will play with grit and determination. But he's also got a bit of flair in there as well as grit. So he has, and he's brought in some fantastic players. The guy Cone that was signed yesterday, had a brief look at his stats. Like, he just looks like a proper player. They've sorted out their goaltending. I always thought the Caro was a weakness for Sheffield. They've sorted that out. You know, Doug will put things right in Sheffield, as much as that pains me to say. You know, that is for me, losing Doug was a massive loss. Sheffield are my favourites at this stage, so they are to win the Elite League title. But
I would find it hard to disagree with that with the coach. I think we talked about it last week when we were having our wee chat that, you know, Doug is very good at learning where he went wrong the season before and correcting it.
Very much.
And he'll take that to Sheffield. Now, he doesn't have all the same players. I'm sure he would have liked the Keith and Lloyd, but he'll have players in there that are that style of play. And this guy Cone that they've brought in, you know, an AHL All-Star from just a few years ago, he's
cracking player.
He has the potential to be one of the league All-Stars again. I would hope that Nottingham don't win the league. I would hope that Sheffield don't win the league too, but I would rather be battling at the top with Sheffield than Nottingham, and because I hate Nottingham.
Yeah, so say all of us. Well, guys, I'll finish off by a few comments that were on Twitter in regards to the sponsorship put out on the @AVFTB Twitter account, what people thought of the sponsorship and any comments they had on anything else. And Alan Price said he said not impressed. Like, seriously, a raffle? That's going to end badly with the way some fans are, quote, the Fix Brigade. The Philip Armstrong.
Well, there is that as well that we hadn't really touched on, that you know, people religiously week in, week out buy tickets for the Shirt of the Backdraw. People win it more often than some other people's, but if you don't buy a ticket, you can't win the prize. You know, people put their money up. Good luck to them.
The Philip Armstrong said, not great. Doesn't seem to be fair for non-season ticket people or people who can't make the event. Aaron Stewart just said, face palm. Angie Mack said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But Andrea Cochran said she likes the idea. Opening the season ticket holders is the only bit iffy, but the raffle names in general, she's totally on board with. So it seems to be a bit mixed. Personally, I'm still a bit iffy on that issue, but so be it. Anyway, guys, that's us. We've had Paul Ailey chatting to us there, and we'll have hopefully a few more interviews coming up. But thanks for joining us.
Cheers, see Patrick. Ya.
And thanks, as always, to the gents. And thanks to Paul Ailey for taking the time to come on the show. Hopefully we get to chat to him again as the season progresses. If you want to give us a shout here on A View from the Bridge, you can contact us on Twitter @AVFTB. That's @AVFTB. You can go to the website,
www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast or email podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. We'll be looking for the next show to try and be a bit more interactive. So if you want to give us what topics you want to chat to the panel about, do you know, anything you want to ask, you want the panel to talk about, or anything you want to ask the panel, just drop us a line on Twitter or on the email address, and we'll do our best to work it into the show. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you're enjoying your summer, and we'll catch you next time here on A View from the Bridge. Bye.